Welcome back. This is Where You Lead, a Gilmore Girls podcast. My name is Stephanie Calhoun.
And I'm Betsy Hall.
And we're back with Where You Lead, a Gilmore Girls podcast.
I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Betsy.
And we're excited to be here.
So excited. Today we're going to be talking about the pilot episode.
Yay.
Hey. I have some little facts about the series that I could start with, if that's okay.
Okay. But first, how has your week been?
Oh, sorry. I'm just jumping right into it. pretty good. It's been eventful. I told my whole family that I'm having a baby, so that was a lot.
I'm an auntie.
Yeah. But then that's been about it. I started real estate sales licensing classes. I don't know how to say that, but I started a class online so I can get my real estate sales license. So it's been an eventful week for me.
Yeah.
How about
you? Well, over the weekend I had my online trade show. That was
nice. Stressful.
So, but yeah, it was a fundraiser for the Illinois State Groom Team. It was just an online trade show on Facebook, but we made like $3,500, so that was awesome.
Awesome.
But nowhere near pregnancy, so.
Sorry, stole the spotlight on that one. Maybe I should have won second. I'm just kidding.
Nah, you're good. All right, so you wanted to start with something.
Yes, so I have some little facts that I pulled from the internet about Gilmore Girls. So the pilot originally aired on October 5th, 2000. It ran for 7 seasons and a total of 157 episodes. Its final episode was aired on May 15th, 2007, and the show debuted on the WB. Which is news to me. I always thought that it was an ABC Family show.
But it was I thought I watched it on ABC.
I thought it was on ABC Family, like the cable channel. But the WB is a regular TV channel.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when we were living at your dad's. That's when I started watching it, and it was, that's when we had 3 channels. It was before we had the DirecTV or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so those are my little fast facts before the show.
Cool. Do you want to go over how the episode went? Did you write that down, or should I? I wrote it down.
I did not really write it down. I mean, I wrote down, like, little parts of it. But I didn't, like, do, like, a summary in one paragraph of the episode or anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not the most organized thing I've ever done, but it's there. Let me just... come here. There we go. So, episode summary. So, this is the one where they kind of introduce all of the characters. It starts with Lorelai and Rory, the Gilmore girls, at Luke's Diner in Stars Hollow. And they have an interaction with, his name is Joey, some random dude that decided to hit on Lorelai, well, she was ordering coffee and breakfast, I think. And then when Lorelai turned him down, he went over and flirted with Rory, and it was a whole thing.
My favorite line is when Rory looks at him and goes, "Are you my new daddy?"
That was the best part.
That gets me.
I wrote that in big letters on my notes, actually. Really? I'm like, "Are you my new daddy?" Oh, I really hope nobody looks at my notes when I'm when they don't know what the context is. They'll just see it in big letters.
Be like, okay, this girl's crazy.
Then we got to meet Luke when he argues with Lorelai over her unhealthy coffee consumption.
Yes.
And then they go their separate ways. You get to go to... Oh, I got distracted from my notes. Then we're introduced to the Independence Inn, where Lorelai works, and you get to see Michelle, the... What is the word? Receptionist?
Receptionist, yeah. Front desk person.
Yeah. So the front desk person at the Independence Inn, and he's talking on the phone with a lady who's trying to book, and that's... You get to really see what kind of person Michelle is.
What do you do?
You also get to see...
People are particularly stupid today. That's a Michelle. That face mask, actually, that you bought me, it has it on both sides. It says, "People are particularly stupid today," on both sides of it. So I can't wear it to work, because, like, if people haven't seen the show, they're going to be like, okay, you bitch.
Damn it.
No, I love it. I wear it whenever I'm not going to work. Maybe one of these days I'll feel rebellious and wear it. But that's yes, awesome. It's on the sides. You definitely can see it.
Awesome. Mine doesn't have it on there. I have a lot of the other stuff. The main one that I wanted was Oi with the Poodles Already, which is on there.
Yes.
Because so. It's necessary for me.
It is.
So, and then you get to see one of my favorite, I call them NPCs, non-player characters. Not important characters, basically. I mean, they're important, but kind of background characters. Drella.
Yes. The
harpist.
Player. Fun fact about Drella, she is played by Alex Borenstein and was originally supposed to play Suki, but she had accepted to be on another show, so she couldn't. But I'm glad we get Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, wouldn't that have been so weird if she played Suki throughout the whole series?
Yeah, I don't think it would have been very believable.
I don't think so.
Like, Suki's so sweet.
Right. And Drella is not.
I have never seen Alex, what's her name? Alex Borenstein. I wrote it down too.
Borenstein.
I have never seen her play a nice, sweet character ever.
Mm-mm.
Like, the only thing that I mainly think about is the Lizzie McGuire movie.
I was gonna say that, yes. Where she's chaperone.
Yes.
That's the first thing I ever remember seeing her in.
Yeah. Me too. And I loved her. So yeah, she was one of my favorite characters. NPCs. You want to be nerdy. Let's see. And then... Yeah. So you get to see Drella, the harp player. And then you see Rory and Lorelai again, where Lorelai makes fun of the Moo-Moo sweater.
And I have that in my fashion that I love that outfit. The white sweater with the brown leather backpack. I think it's so cute. I would wear that any day.
Awesome. Yeah, it is super, super cute. So yeah, and then she also tries to make fun of Michelle for his French accent by saying that he should look at Rory's French paper.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then Then we get to meet Lane when Lane and Rory are on their way to school. And which now that I'm thinking about this, this is all kind of backwards. The way that they laid the show, the episode out.
It is.
Because they go to the Dragonfly Inn and Rory is getting done with school.
Right. You mean the Independence Inn?
That's what I meant. What did I call it?
The Dragonfly.
Yeah. So I'm rewatching in two separate places, and the other place that I'm rewatching, it's right when they're starting to, they talk to the Independence Inn owner about that they're gonna buy the Dragonfly. So now I have the Dragonfly stuck in my head. So yeah, now that I think about it, it's backwards. Yeah. They put it in kind of a weird order.
Yeah. Or Rory goes to the Independence Inn before she goes to school.
I thought she was doing it before she, or after school, but.
I thought so too. But then when I rewatched the episode, I was like, maybe she's going before school. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways. So then, yeah, we meet Lane, Rory's best friend, as they are walking into school. I lost where my spot was. So Lane and Rory are walking into school, and Lane is actually putting on her Woodstock t-shirt. Because, you know, she can't dress how she wants on the way out the door.
Right.
So you start to get the feel of what Mrs. Kim is, or I guess we don't know her name, but yeah, but her mom is like. And you also get to meet Dean, who is standing at the top of the stairs of the school with his mouth down on the floor.
Sorry, watching her as he says.
Yes. Like, I never realized how creepy Dean was until I, like, really paid attention to this episode.
Like, got his leather jacket on and stuff, not talking to anyone.
Yeah, and he's staring at her, like, mouth wide open. I'm like, dude, at least close your mouth.
Yeah, maybe I'm not Team Dean after all. I don't know.
We can't just go based off of the first episode, though, because the, like, it changes so much between the pilot and the new one, the second episode.
But yeah, he's real creepy in the first episode. And then we meet Dean. Oh, it's where the next scene is where they're in the classroom and the girls are painting their nails.
Yeah, so the girls are all, I don't know why they're just painting one nail and it doesn't even look like they're doing a thorough job.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like,
it smells like bubble gum after it dries.
Yeah.
Also, what were you
gonna say? Okay, go ahead. I don't remember.
Gonna say, there is, the girls when they're painting their nails are like looking at Rory like, what is this girl doing? Like, she's just doing her assignment, and the girl who looks up and says, oh, it's just the assignment, is actually the same actress who plays Summer at Chilton, which is Tristan's girlfriend. That's kind of a spoiler alert, but I didn't know that. I found it on the internet.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't even notice. And like, I literally just went through those episodes. I think I just didn't care about Summer enough to really pay much attention to what she looked like. Cool.
When we see Summer.
Yeah. So then they do that. And I loved after she's like, oh, she's doing her assignment. And then they like turn back around and Rory kind of smiles to herself like, ha, I got you.
Rory, what else would she be working on
besides her work? They obviously didn't know her very well. So then the next scene is when they go you're back at the Independence Inn and you find Suki on the floor because she finally fixed the peach sauce. Sorry, let me try that again. She finally fixed the peach sauce.
Yes. Suki, the shots of Suki cooking give me so much anxiety. It's like a tornado going through the kitchen.
Yeah. No, it was driving me nuts too. I'd totally end up being like those sous chefs that are like following her around and like saving her.
Put the fires out and just so casual about it because it happens probably every day.
Yeah. I feel like she wasn't as dramatically like that further on in the season.
Yeah.
I feel like they really pull her back a lot.
They do. And she doesn't get hurt nearly as much later on.
Yeah.
She's still kooky, but...
Yeah.
Dial her back. She's still...
Yeah. Probably for the best. And it's probably also because Melissa was starting to probably become more popular.
Yeah.
And was busy. So... They didn't have scenes like this where they basically are focusing on her.
Right. Around.
Yeah. So that's when we get to meet
the Gilmores.
No, that's when we get to meet Mrs. Kim.
Oh, that's right, yeah, because they go back Rory and Lane go to her house.
Yeah. So that's when we get to meet Mrs. Kim, who is Lane's mother.
Yeah.
Who bears a striking resemblance to other mothers that I know. Not even ours. More, I was thinking my grandma.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very simple. There's a little connection that I feel with Lane and Mrs. Kim. I totally, yeah. I see that. Then, so they do the Marco Polo thing as they walk in.
Yes, because it's so crowded in there. Also, yeah. Notably, we meet Mrs. Kim, but we don't meet Mr. Kim. We actually never meet Mr. Kim in the whole series.
Yeah.
Explain why. They never, bring it up at all, which is so odd. Like, Mrs. Kim gives Lorelai so much flack for being a single parent, but then, where's Mr. Kim?
Yeah, and I feel like they almost did that on purpose, with having her always giving Lorelai so much flack, it's like, well, yeah, you're married, but you're pretty much doing the same thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought that was really cool. I love how she's making healthy muffins.
Yes. That
she's like, you have to dip it in tea to make it soft enough to chew. Cause it was gluten and wheat and something else free.
Yeah.
I think it was gluten and dairy and wheat free.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, yeah, I'm sure they were disgusting.
And
one of my favorite little things showing her and Rory's relationship is she asks Lane if anyone got pregnant or dropped out of school today, and I think Lane just said no, I wasn't paying attention. Rory just said Joanne Pilsner was glowing today.
Yes.
Mrs. Kim's like, what was that? And then, Lane is like, she's just kidding. And she's like, Mrs. Kim goes, boys don't like funny girls.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't realize that we were worried about that. Also, that's my only good quality.
Right. I'm so screwed.
So yeah. Then we get back to Suki in the kitchen. Being a tornado through the kitchen. And Lorelai comes in and tells her the news that Rory is getting into Chilton, which is the private school.
Yay.
Sorry. The idea of private school makes me a little gaggy.
That's fair.
And as that was a good one. Lorelai tells her she's getting in at Chilton, and Suki turns around and smacks the guy in the face with the pan. Yeah. I'm like, that would have been me getting hit with the pan. So, yeah, then that's when Rory comes in. And it's announced to her that she got into Chilton. And, but before that, great zinger, she sees that Lorelai and Suki were really excited about something, and she says, "You're really happy. Did you do something slutty?"
Yes. I love that line.
I had to make sure I wrote down all the zingers. And then she tells her that she gets into Chilton, and Rory replies, "Did you do the principal?" So yes. That was pretty funny.
Lorelai's like, "No, I'm not that happy."
So, then, and Suki throws a towel on the stove while doing a happy dance and almost catches the Independence Inn on fire. Suki.
It's like a foreshadowing of what's come much later on.
So then it cuts to Lorelai talking to the people from Chilton about the payment. There was some real good ones in there. Did you write any of those down?
I did not.
Okay. So at one point she says, "There's a lot of zeros behind that five." And then when they say that she has to have it done in by Monday, she says, "That doesn't really give me time to pull a bank job."
And then she has to explain what that means to them.
Yep.
Because they're so like duty.
Yep. Good stuff. There's so many good lines. So, then Lorelai and Suki are talking about it in Lorelai's house, and Suki says that we should sell her car. Suki's car. And Lorelai turns around and she's like, "Sweetie, no one wants to buy your car." I thought that was cute too. So, yeah. But then Lorelai, she pans over their fireplace with all the pictures and stops on the picture of Rory in front of...
I'm pretty sure it was Lorelai as a kid.
Was it Lorelai as a kid? It was someone as a kid in front of the Gilmore Mansion. And realizes that she has to go ask her parents for money. So then we get to meet Emily. She's actually one of my favorite characters.
I do like her.
I have a lot of favorites though, so.
That's true. Same though.
But Emily is so hilarious. What'd you say?
They all just grow on you after a while.
Yeah. So she goes to meet Emily and they immediately know that she wants money. She explains why she wants the money, and they say yes, but only if Lorelai and Rory will come every Friday night for dinner with the family.
The birth of Friday night dinners.
Yep. So, which is not something Lorelai wanted to do, but she really wants to get her into Chilton. That's when I started getting a little lazy with my note taking, but I got, there's a thing between Rory and Dean. Well, after Rory talks about how great her uniforms are, wearing a uniform is Tulane, who calls her crazy. then she runs into Dean and they start talking and they bond over movies, and you find out that he's from Chicago, which, by the way, really bugs me. So he's supposed to be from Chicago. People who say they're from Chicago typically are from the suburbs, which is where I'm from. But it's still a city. Like, we're not in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Very, very populated here. And it really bothers me that Dean says he's from Chicago, but then the whole, like, he slides right into that small town life, and he's right. Just like, yeah, this is what I live, you know, this is cool. Like, there was none of that. He was just like, yep, I'm a small town boy now, and I want my wife to be home all the time making me dinner, so I have dinner on the table when I get home. I'm still a little salty on that one.
Yeah. What was that they quoted later on? There's the show that they're watching that causes Rory and Dean. That episode will come. I can't remember what it's called now.
I don't remember it either, but we'll find out when we get there. So
yeah, the Donna show.
Oh, the Donna Reed show. Yes,
the life he wants.
Yeah, he wants the Donna Reed life in his small town. But that doesn't make sense to me, because no one from here would be happy in a place like Stars Hollow.
Yeah.
It's like taking John, my husband. Like, could you imagine him just up and moving to Minong?
No. Like, especially while being forced to do that. There's no way to just, like, blend in so seamlessly.
No. That's a big plot hole for me. So, but yes, so we find out he's from Chicago. Then he says that he's looking for a job, and she says to go to Miss Patty, and she's super awkward for all of the conversation because she's weird. Mm-hmm. and so she says to go to Miss Patty, so then he convinces her to walk her to Miss Patty's to show her where it is. And on the way there, they talk about the round cakes.
Yes.
That one place has really round cakes. So that's when we find out that Dean has been watching her. Because he asked her about Moby Dick, which we saw her reading earlier. Did you just laugh at Dick?
No, I said Moby Dick also.
Okay. All I heard was Dick and a laugh. Okay.
But not that funny.
So he's talking about Moby, you know, asking her about Moby Dick, and she's like, how did you know I was reading Moby Dick? And he's like, I've been watching you, which is super creepy.
Super creepy. And then he like gets right in the camera. Not like, I've been watching you, and it's like, that's really creepy, Dean.
Yeah, he has quite a few creepy moments, man.
He does.
So yeah, they do that, and then they meet up for dinner at Luke's Diner, because that's where they eat all of their meals. I thought it was funny that they were eating salads, like, same. At the beginning of the scene. you come in and they're eating salads, and I'm like, they don't eat salad. They don't know what salad is. But then he brings the burgers. So he brings the burgers and says, red meat can kill ya. Thanks, Luke. You needed to hear that. And that's when they argue, because now Rory is in a mood. And so is Lorelai, because she had to talk to her parents. And Lorelai tells her that they're going to dinner the next night at the Gilmore Mansion. And Rory gets cranky and upset because she decided that she's thinking maybe she shouldn't go to Chilton, which is really just because she met a cute boy.
Yeah.
But Lorelai doesn't understand why, and they argue, and then they leave, and they take a sad walk through town, where they run into Miss Patty, who asks Rory about Dean, and then Lorelai makes all the connections. there were some real good zingers in that. After they walk away from Miss Patty, they were arguing, and Rory like ran up ahead, and Lorelai yells out, you're gonna have to turn into friggin' dojo to get away from me. I guess that was the only zinger I wrote down. Oh well. but I love that one. I thought it was hilarious. Then they both go into, Rory goes to her room and Lorelai goes to the living room, and they both play I Try by Macy Gray. Macy Gray. and then in the next scene, Suki exploded a dish. And I don't remember what else happened in that scene. That's all I wrote down.
I think that's about it. The stove is like broken and they're taking it out.
Yeah, it was just like a little mini scene.
Yeah.
And yeah, she blew up a dish, and that's why they're taking the stove out. So
that scene. Yeah. Oh, and then Michelle comes in and is like, your daughter is here and she's sitting in my chair.
Oh yeah.
And Lorelai and Rory are still fighting, so it's, like, really awkward when they see each other.
Yeah. It's like when high school girls fight.
Basically. And then Rory stomps off, and Lorelai's like, dinner's at 7, be ready, or something like that.
Yeah. So and then it comes to them standing at the door of the Gilmore Mansion.
Yep, for the awkward Friday night dinner of the whole series.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And the whole house is different than how it normally is. Like, there's no windows visible. Everything's, like, really closed off.
Yeah, I did notice it looked weird.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Episode 2, it's completely different. The house is different. So it must have just been, like, a pilot episode thing.
Yeah, probably. I love when they're standing at the door and Rory's like, do we go in or do we just stand here looking like little, do we go in or do we just stand here looking like the little, the little match girl.
Oh, okay.
Do we go in or do we just stand here looking like the little match girl? and then Lorelai turns to her and says, I need you to be civil, and on the way home you can pull a Menendez. I can't read my own handwriting.
That's okay.
So yeah, they go into the super awkward dinner. Richard is a man of little words and just obsesses over Rory being tall.
Tall. She's tall.
She's tall. And they basically just keep making little jabs at Lorelai all through the night. And the end comes when he goes, speaking of Christopher, of nowhere. So, you know, Christopher is Rory's dad, who everyone thinks walks on water. Well, her parents seem to think walks on water.
All through the series, they like really, really love Christopher and want Lorelai and Christopher to see it back together.
Yeah.
When everyone knows it's wrong.
Yep.
Besides Gilmore's.
Yep. So, yeah, that's when the argument really gets heated and Lorelai stomps off to the kitchen to wash dishes.
Yeah. You never see her do housework in any other episode. And then in the episode, she's like washing dishes at her parents' house.
I mean, I guess stress cleaning, I do that. But
yeah.
I don't usually go for the dishes first, but.
Right.
Yeah, so they argue. Rory overhears that she asked for money for Chilton. So then Rory feels bad for not wanting to go to Chilton. So she decides to go to Chilton. And they leave. And then they go to Luke's because apparently they're still hungry.
And need more coffee at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. The amount of freaking coffee, man. So yeah, they go to Luke's and Luke is all dressed up from going to the bank and Lorelai gets a little dreamy eyed. That's when you really get to see that little.
Yes.
Yeah.
That love action start.
Yep. So yeah, they do that and I don't remember I just remember the last thing that Rory said was sorry, too late, and they smile at each other. I don't remember what Luke said.
He says something about, like, don't drink so much coffee or you'll end up turning into your mom or end up like your mom. And Rory's like, too late.
Yeah.
And
then they pan away of them laughing in the diner to music. So yeah.
I got the coffee. Let's talk as fast as we can in girly talk.
This episode, what did you think?
I don't know. I feel like it was a good episode. I don't know. I feel like we talked about everything as we went.
Yeah, we did. I guess the things I would say is this is definitely not one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah.
Mostly because everything was so over dramatized, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you could tell everyone's picked up for a second episode.
Yeah. So yeah, like I didn't love it, and like I said, I didn't watch it until I was older. So then like when I went back to watch it and I knew the show so well, I go back to watch it and I'm like, this isn't quite it.
Yeah.
So it's not my favorite. I mean, I'm also not a huge fan of Dean, so I don't love him in there. But I do like that we get to really see the characters, even though they are a little dramatized. They really make sure to go through and let you meet everyone. I don't remember, did we meet Crap, what's his name? The one guy who ends up being, like, he basically is the town's, like...
Oh, Kirk?
Kirk.
So yes, I meet him in this episode, but he has a different name. I didn't write it down, but he introduces himself as something different.
Yes. So I had read about this before. He was supposed to just be a, like, a one-off character.
Okay.
And then everybody liked him so much, like, he rated really well. So then they made him, like, a reoccurring character. They made him Kirk.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, like, at first, I didn't even realize it was a different name. I wasn't paying enough attention. And so, like, I never realized it until I read something. I was, like, reading an article about it.
Mick.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Is Mick. And then he's from episode 3 on, his name is Kirk.
Yeah.
But yeah, he introduces himself as Mick in the first episode.
Yeah, I like Kirk better.
Me too. It suits him.
He makes me also like, sorry. He also kind of brings together, like, it reminds me, like, the town of Stars Hollow. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, there's a sci-fi show called Eureka, about a small town called Eureka. And there's a character, and I don't remember his name in that show, but it was like pretty much Kirk, but in Stars Hollow, or not in Stars Hollow.
Yeah.
And so, just, like, every time I watch, and that's another one of my, like, really, like, my favorite shows, so, it really reminds me a lot of that show, so.
Mm-hmm. And then when
I watch that show, I remember the Gilmore Girls, so.
Right. It's just a good pairing, and I feel like every small town has that one person who's, like, has every job, is involved in every community activity, like, you just see them everywhere. Like, I feel like small town has at least that one person.
Yeah,
so I feel like they hit the nail on the head with keeping Kirk in as a character, and he always brings, like, so much laughter, because you're just like where does he even come from, Kirk? Like, he's just so weird. You don't really learn a whole lot about his backstory, other than that, like, he lives with his mom and works a million jobs, but, like, he still is, like, such a good character.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
It is.
So yeah, I mean, those are my main things as far as,
yeah,
like, what I thought about it. Yeah, girl talk.
When you've seen every episode 1,000 times, you start to notice some very interesting things in the background. Did you catch that?
So then, I know you kind of named some of the ones that you already had for, did you catch that?
Yes, I do have some more. Just a lot of, like, especially because we said that the first episode is so different than the rest of the series, a lot of, like, that differences, like, Luke's Diner, you don't find out right away that it used to be a hardware store owned by Luke's dad, but in this episode, you walk in, looks like a hardware store, like, in when the first scene when Lorelai walks into Luke's, you can, like, see, like, nails and stuff in the background, and I think there's still a sign up that says it's a hardware store out front, and then later on in the series, it looks more like a diner, it doesn't look like a hardware store, and then also, Luke's is shown as being in the middle of a city block in the episode, even when they, like, have that last scene where they pan away, you can tell that it's in the middle of a block, but then later on, you find out that it's corner.
So I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, but it, like, looks still very, it looks pretty similar, like, the layout is similar inside the restaurant as it is later on, but, like, the outside is completely different because it's on a corner block. Which is kind of cool. And then same with the Gilmore Mansion, I kind of talked about this, but, like, the front entrance is totally different. In the first episode, everything seems almost like a prison. Like, there's not a lot of light. It's super dark in there. Lots of dark hardwood everywhere. And even when Lorelai goes to the Gilmore's mansion just to, like, sit and talk with them about getting the money, they sit in, like, their little cocktail area, and that's, like, completely different. The furniture is, like, similar to what they have later on, but, like, the whole room and layout and everything is totally different. Also, Emily Gilmore's hair is so different in the first episode. And it's, like, really short and, like, dark or something. Like, it just looks so weird. And I think it makes her look super old. Like, when I went back and rewatched this, I was like, oh, my God, Emily, you look so old.
Yeah.
I like her hair later on throughout the series. And then, oh, this was kind of weird. At 30 minutes, 19 seconds, we go into the Gilmore girls' house after they fight at Luke's. And in the living room, there's a random doorway, like, on the side wall next to a window that they have covered up with, like, a lace, like, blanket thing. And then they put a table and a plant in front of it to show that they're obviously hiding a door. So I don't know if it, like, for different scenes is a different house or something. Like, I don't know what that door is there for. I noticed it in later episodes as well, so it stays consistent throughout, but, like, there's just this random door in the middle of their living room that never gets used. And then at 35 minutes 45 seconds, Emily gives Rory a glass of champagne and she drinks it, and Rory's 15.
Awesome.
Yep. I think all of them that I had for fast facts that I didn't say before. Or did you catch that?
I feel like that is a rich people thing. Like, I feel like they do that a lot.
Yeah, like, I don't care. Or they'll be like, oh, it's just dinner, it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's like,
I think in, like, I think in, like, European countries, I think it's normal for kids to have a glass of wine with dinner.
I think so too. That's so strange to me.
Yeah.
I have a glass of red wine now as, like, a full-grown adult, and I'm like, woo! Like, imagine being a child and having a glass of red wine. I'm so drunk.
Sorry, I'm just picturing you, like, drinking a glass of wine at home and then, like, just running around your room, like, your apartment, going, woo!
Basically what happens, because I drink a whole lot normally, and, like, I'm pretty small, so I have one drink, and I'm just so drunk. I can't imagine, like, once I give birth and can drink again, like, I'll probably have a sip of beer and be drunk.
Yep.
While Mrs. Kim is at church, let's see what Lane has under the floorboards.
Now, we'll do under the floorboards. Wait, did you have any more for the fast facts?
Nope. But I was just going to say, this is a really, really good episode for the music. I feel like the music is always good, but, like, the first episode, particularly good.
Yeah. There was definitely some good stuff. It's up here. So the first song we hear is, as it's painting over the town at the beginning of the episode, or panning. I used voice to text to write this down, and it wrote painting, so that's fun. They're panning over the town, and it comes to Lorelai going into Luke's, begging for coffee. And it's playing. Oh, it's right here. There She Goes by The Laws. I don't know if I'll be able to actually play them on the episode at all, or even, like, a snippet, for legal reasons.
Right.
But I'll look into it. So, There She Goes by the... Ooh, you know what I should do? as we go, I should make a Spotify playlist that I can add to.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. What?
I like that idea, to do a playlist of all the music.
Yeah. I like it too. All right. So that was There She Goes by The Laws. I thought it was a pretty good choice as far as the way to kind of introduce Lorelai.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it matched her pretty well.
Agreed.
Yeah. Then after that, luckily I can edit all this weird noises out. So the next song, so there are little snippets of songs that are in between that are actually written by Sam Phillips for the show. So like the La La, the La La La. Don't have me sing, but you know what I mean. So yeah. Like the La La sounds, like she does those little snippets all through the entire series and also for A Year in the Life.
Yes.
So, and she was like, that was her job to do it. And originally when she started doing it, she was trying to put lyrics into it, but she didn't like any of the lyrics that she was coming up with. And she was like, oh, I feel like this needs to be something that, it's Amy Sherman Palladino.
Yeah.
She's like, I think Amy needs to write the lyrics if I'm going to have lyrics in it. So what she did is she came to Amy with just her background vocals, which is the La La La's. And Amy just loved it and didn't want to add anything to it. She just decided that was the best way to do it. So that's throughout the show. But then the next song that we hear is actually also by Sam Phillips. And it's just as they're panicking when Lorelai realizes that she needs to talk to her parents about money, it pans over that fireplace. And on the pictures and the song Where the Colors Don't Go, written by Sam Phillips, plays during that. And I thought it was a good, I mean, it matches the show really well.
Yeah.
So, but I just thought it was cool that she writes some of the songs that are in here too, but then also does all of that, like, background music kind of stuff. So then there's I Try by Macy Gray.
A class.
When they're angry and they go to their separate rooms and they both play the same song. I have a connection to the song because actually of your cousin Deanna.
I was literally thinking the same thing. Yeah. That was her favorite music artist.
Yep. She introduced me to the music, and I think it was actually my first Macy Gray CD was one that she gave to me.
Okay. So, that's so awesome. Yeah. That's the first I'd ever heard of it too, was from Deanna.
Yeah. That's how I heard about Macy Gray, and that's also how I heard of the show As Told by Ginger, because Macy Gray
sings the intro song.
Yeah, she does the intro song. So, but yeah, just thought I'd add that little bit in.
Yeah.
I love that song, and that's the kind of music that I usually go to when I'm in a bad mood and just want to play some music really loud. So then the last song that we hear is at the end of the show, as they're panning away from Lorelai and Rory eating dinner at Luke's. They play My Little Corner of the World by Yolo Yola Tango. Which, I mean, it seems perfect for that because it's just showing how much they love this little, their little corner of the world, you know? Yeah. So, that's pretty much it. I probably should do a little bit more research into some of those songs next time, but yeah.
Awesome.
So, back to my structure. Okay. if you want me to share this with you, I will too.
Okay.
I don't know if it'll help you, but it'll be there.
We've all wanted to raid the Gilmore Girls' closet for the perfect outfit at some point. Come hang out in Lorelai's closet as we break down the best and worst outfits of the episode.
All right, so next is Lorelai's closet.
Yes, the fashion. So we talked a little bit about this, but right at the beginning, when Rory comes into the Independence Inn, she's wearing a white sweater with her brown leather backpack. I just love that outfit. Rory wears it with like baggy jeans, which I get was in style for 2000, but if she would have wore it with like some leggings, it would have been such a cute outfit these days.
I really like the idea of the leggings.
It just is like the perfect fall outfit. And of course Lorelai has to say something and goes, "What's with the moo-moo?" And I disagree. And then later on, when Rory's at her last day at Stars Hollow High, she's wearing these black dark Doc Marten boots with some tall socks, black tights and a skirt, and then a red short sleeve turtleneck. And I think that that outfit is also so cute. And I think that it's a lot different than like Rory's style later on throughout the series. I feel like she's a lot more reserved later on, but like in this first episode, she was a little more edgy.
Yeah.
I liked the Doc Martens a lot. And that was when she first talks to Dean. And then at 33 minutes, Lorelai is wearing this brown and black blazer with these big shoulder pads and like buttons all randomly all over the place. And this is one of the few times that I like look at Lorelai and I'm like, girl, what were you thinking? Like, it looks like it from a thrift store. I don't know, it's just so bad. And then she has the audacity to make a joke about Rory's moo moo. What? And I'm like, Lorelai, no, you cannot. Not when you're wearing something like that. If you have a cute outfit on, you can make fun of the puffy sweater, but not in that blazer.
That's another little connection we have, because how many times have you thought that same thing about one of my outfits?
That's true.
I'd totally wear that blazer, by the way.
Oh my gosh. And she has it all the way to the top, and I'm like, no.
Awesome.
And then, so since we were talking about Luke's hats, in this episode, so he has a different hat than I think he does in any of the other episodes. He has on like a blue baseball cap, but it's got an American flag on it. It looks like he got it from like Old Navy on the 4th of July. Like, it's so different than all of his other hats. Normally it's just like a plain blue or a black hat. Nope, this one had an American flag on it.
He was feeling festive.
He sure was. That is what I have for fashion. Got it.
He was feeling festive.
He sure was. That is what I have for fashion. Cool. Lorelai's closet. This week, Lorelai's closet, not so good. Rory's closet was good. I would have rated it for sure. But Lorelai's closet, she needs to redeem herself.
I think I might have to, I might have to raid her closet for that blazer now.
Oh my god, it's so ugly. It's like brown, almost green colored and black. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Now let's take a look behind the scenes.
All right, so my turn for behind the scenes. So one of the first things I found, Luke actually was originally written in the script as a woman.
What?
Yes. He was written into the original script as a woman and obviously was not supposed to be, was never supposed to be a love interest for Lorelai.
Okay.
And actually, Amy Sherman-Palladino apparently didn't even decide that he was a love interest till further in. But because of the chemistry that, what are their actual names?
Lauren Grant and Jared something.
I thought it was Scott.
Maybe it is.
Okay, so we're just going to say the chemistry between Luke and Lorelai.
I'll look it up here really quick. Because now I can't remember.
I looked up a lot of people's names.
Scott Patterson.
Yes!
Oh, Jared, that's Dean. Jared is... Jared Paladecki is Dean. Yeah, cool. Scott Patterson is...
Yeah, so apparently Scott Patterson and Lauren Graham had such chemistry that after a few after going into it a while and they had that chemistry going on screen, they decided to change it so that he became a love interest.
Interesting. Because I really would have thought, like, in the first episode that was something they were laying the groundwork for.
Yeah. I think what they were doing with having her kind of flirt with him was more of a just showing that she's kind of this, like, really flirty person.
Okay.
So, then, okay, what else do I have? Oh, so the pilot, which actually would explain why so many things are different from the pilot to the second episode, as far as the scene. The pilot was filmed in Unionville, Ontario, where the rest of the show was shot in California.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Don't know why they picked Ontario, but okay.
Yeah, that does seem really random.
Yeah. So then there was, let's see. Oh, so you kind of talked a little bit about the unaired pilot where Suki was actually originally in the original unaired pilot, played by Alex Bornstein. So, which you kind of mentioned.
Yeah.
But then for the aired pilot, which is the one that we watched, that's when
Melissa McCarthy.
Thank you. Melissa McCarthy was then in the Suki role. So, and it was changed because her Mad TV contract prevented her from continuing as a main character in Gilmore Girls.
Interesting. So. I forgot also, that was Miss Mad TV. I missed that show.
Me too. Also, interesting fact, Alex Bornstein was born in Deerfield, Illinois, which is literally like 20 minutes from me.
That's crazy.
So... I'm like, does she come back? Because I'd like to meet her.
Meet her.
Yeah, like, there's actually quite a few, like, famous people that are from here. Can you hear the fireworks going off right now?
I heard them a little bit, yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's been going on for, like, a month. It's insane.
Also, since we're on the topic of Alex Bornstein, I thought it was her, but I couldn't remember. Do you remember from the seasons later on, Miss Celine?
Yeah.
Fashion designer? That's Alex Bornstein, too.
Bornstein. That's so awesome.
Yeah, I knew, I thought it was, but I couldn't remember now. Yep, it's the same person. They just make her look super old.
Wow. Yeah. And then, also in the unaired pilot, Dean was played by someone named Nathan Wetherington, which I could not find out who Nathan Wetherington was.
Weird. So he was, like, really underground.
Yeah.
Oh, I found him. Oh,
you did?
Yeah, with just a simple Google search.
Well, Stephanie apparently can't Google. I might have misspelled it. Oh.
I don't think he would have been good as Dean.
No.
I mean, he also would have been a lot younger, but.
Yeah. He looks mildly familiar.
He was in Cruel Intentions 3.
I don't know if I saw Cruel Intentions 1.
I have it on DVD if you want it. Okay. I've still not seen it. It's one of the weird videos that James sent me in the mail. Kind of scared me off it, to be honest.
Okay.
Man, he would have been old for that role because he was born in 1974. So in 2000, he would have been playing a 16-year-old.
Yeah, he would have been in his 30s.
Yeah. He's at mom's age, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have just been weird. I'm going to look this now. I'm stuck with Dean.
Oh, that's creepy. Feels so dirty. I know that Milo, I can't ever say his last name, who plays Jess, I know he was older. He's like 40-something now? 45, I think?
Yeah, he's 42 now.
Okay.
How old's Alexis Bledel?
I feel like she's my age.
She was born in 1981, so she's 38.
Oh, damn, she's way older than me.
Right? Huh.
Well, I guess it makes sense that she wouldn't be my age since I was like 7 when it started.
Yeah. So. You're from 2000, so you would have been like 9 or 10.
Yeah, I would have been like 9 or 10, but still.
Yeah, that's a big age difference.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's what I have for behind the scenes.
Nice. Those are some good behind the scenes facts.
Now we're going to turn the episode into a drinking game. Let's take a shot.
Do you want to do take a shot?
Oh, yes. So for take a shot, I did... how many cups of coffee Lorelai has seen drinking throughout the episode... I may have missed one or two, but there for sure were 6. So if you watch this episode again and you decide to take a shot every time Lorelai's drinking coffee, you're going to take at least 6 shots of whatever it is. That's enough to get me drunk. I would only need to watch one episode and I would be drunk. Or take a drink. You could just take a drink. But I like
to. You'd still be drunk.
Yeah, that's true. 6. Alcohol? Yep, I'd be drunk.
Yep.
So I counted at least 6. I counted at least 2 cups that Rory had, but also I could have missed some too because I was taking notes while I was watching some of the episode. But at least 6 in 1 hour episode, that's a lot of coffee.
Yeah, that's so much coffee. And I think that 1 hour episode only spanned over like 2 days.
Yeah.
And that wasn't all of the coffee she was drinking.
Right. She had 5 cups before she went into Luke's, before we even met her. I didn't count, though. If I did, it would be 11.
Jesus.
And you would do like 6 shots within the first 30 seconds of the episode. So like, that's how crazy you guys are trying to get watching this.
Yeah. Maybe just take drinks for those first 5.
Yeah. That sounds smart.
Please don't hurt yourselves.
Please don't get alcohol poisoning watching Gilmore Girls.
All right, so that's the end of our show. Now we can do the ratings. As far as what did we think, 1 to 10 coffees, where did we think this episode ranked? I'm going to go first. I'm going to go with like a 7, but mostly because you get to meet all of the characters. Though, like I've said, I didn't like the over-dramatization of each character, but it was nice to see all of the characters, and I think they did a really good job of introducing them and really showing their personality right off the bat. So, Betsy, what do you think?
Okay, so you took the words right out of my mouth with this one. I'm going to have to agree with you here on like 6 to 7 cups of coffee for this one. Obviously, everything was like super over-dramatized, and this episode was so different from the rest of the series. But like you said, you get to meet all the characters, which I love because, I mean, it's the start of like the best show ever. So obviously, you know, the first episode holds a special place in my heart, but it was so different than the rest, so that's why I didn't give it the full 10 cups of coffee today. But I mean, I feel like 7 is still pretty good. That's still a good episode. But yeah, I agree with you completely on that. Are you loving Where You Lead, a Gilmore Girls podcast? Well, be sure to go check us out on all your favorite social media platforms. Go like us on Facebook or follow us on Insta at @whereyoulead_podcast or on Twitter at @gg_whereyoulead. Here you'll find updates on the podcast and everything you need to help keep you Gilmore obsessed. Well, that's all that we have for today. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us, and be sure to catch us next time on Where You Lead, a Gilmore Girls podcast. Until then, may your coffee cup runneth over, and in omnia paratus.